And welcome back to the Insane Asylum. It has been a little bit. It is episode 47 of the Night of Living Dreads podcast. Podcast covers all and anything horror, the strange, the weird, all of it, because that's what we like to do here. I am one of your hosts, Otis B. Dreads, be me. And of course, I got, I don't know why I call you this, Happy Boy. I think it was due to the Sid Haig episode that we did. I think that's why, but we have Happy Boy SJ here.
Happy Boy, I'm here as always. It's been a long time. God damn, it's good to be back in the asylum.
I know, it has been a minute, man. And we'll talk about some of the misfortunes that that kept the Insane Asylum quiet for a few weeks now. But we also have somebody else here in the asylum, somebody who is not unfamiliar with the workings of the asylum. Those who have listened to the Night of Living Dreads podcast will remember the one, the only. We have Malice Murphy with us. How are you, my friend?
I am doing good.
Oh, the Malice One has joined us. Yes. And it's going to be a fun one. It's taken us so long to even start fucking recording. There's just so many jokes ensue, and we just cannot seem to stay serious. But we'll get into all that shenanigans and much more, because you got Malice has brought to the table a little story of this guy accused of murder, and we'll get into all that. Something that SJ and myself had nothing. We had nothing, really. I mean, maybe I speak for myself. I mean, did you have anything, SJ? I mean,
no, not really. Not to speak of. Not a great idea for a podcast. So,
well, I think it's been a drought. Pretty good idea, actually. Yeah.
Oh, go ahead.
I think it's a pretty good idea, actually.
We shall see.
You know, no topic. Just kind of go in, pants down.
Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. I mean, to start this over again.
But anyway, see, I told you this one's going to be fun. But let's give out some horror love real quick. Gorehounds of Horror over there on Facebook, open and closed group, check both of them out. Misfit Horror Fiend Club, also one of my favorites. The Slaughterhouse, Slaughter on Wayne.
Slaughter on Garth.
Jody thinks that's the dumbest shit ever. She really does.
That's pretty funny, actually.
I thought so, too.
I like it.
Mrs. Dreads is not a big fan of that one. But Slaughterhouse on Facebook. After Dark, they do a lot of watch parties and whatnot over there. Another cool group. Of course, the non-horror love that we give out, the wonderful Cannabis Arcade, and that's where you get a lot of your dark adult humor. And then sprinkled in with a lot of good picks and whatever, all things cannabis. Cannabis spelled with a K. And, of course, all of us are over there at Night of Living Dreads. Dreads with no A, nightoflivingdreads.com. And you can come and check us out there. So before we jump into all of this, I feel like we all of us need to catch up. And, you know, I mean, it's like, you know, it's been a while since, like we mentioned and SJ mentioned, you know, it's been a while since, you know, we've done a podcast. And it goes back to, you know, right around, you know, Halloween. We were going to do a big podcast. Halloween was not a very happy time, at least for us three. It just didn't really plan out, I think, like anybody wanted. Is that how you feel, Malice?
Because it was horribly horrible. Me, it was. It was horribly horrible.
Horribly horrible. Can we throw in another adjective in there?
It sucked fucking ass, man. The weather here was shitty. Mm-hmm. It was freezing cold. I even seen it snow a little bit.
Yeah, it did.
It was windy. It was
nasty.
My kids only went trick-or-treating for a half an hour before they were like, you know, this sucks. We want to go home.
This ain't even worth it.
I didn't even go out. I sat at home with the little girl. She She had a little cold and wasn't able to go.
Yeah. I mean, so just horrible all around, you know. The kids, you know, your two boys, you know, they did get to go trick-or-treating, but hated it because of the weather. You know, and then, you know, what could have been Cece's first Halloween would have been, first Halloween, and she's down, you know, which even if she wasn't sick, probably wouldn't have been a good fucking night to take her out. And speaking of weather, oh, please tell us about your Halloween, SJ. I think he's got us beat, actually.
Oh, it was fucking great. It was great down here. It was a rainy, windy night, like dumping down rain. No trick-or-treaters to start the night off. And to add insult to injury, we had a power outage over here at my place. So no internet. No movies, no, you know, I can't even watch a fucking horror movie on Halloween night. And, of course, it's rained out, so it's a wash. But, I don't know, down here, we don't get trick-or-treaters anyway. I mean, it seems like Halloween is dying slowly. And this year was just more proof positive of that. Like, are the trick-or-treaters?
Right.
Where are they? Where are the kids dressed up? You know, not the shitty, you know, Party City costumes, but the ones that actually dress up.
Right.
And they, you know, where is that shit? Halloween is dying.
That's a good point. We were talking about this earlier. You know, were there a lot of kids trick or treating when you had your boys out for that little bit of time?
Rachel said she's seen a lot of people, and we had a lot of people come to the house. We were I was handing out candy at the house.
Yeah, and you know, you're kind of in a small plat, so there are a lot of houses, a lot of kids, you know, a lot of families back there. You know, we don't see them here at the insane asylum because we're right on a busy road. There's no real sidewalk. There's no safe place for kids to, you know, come, which honestly is fine with me, but I get what you're saying, because I can remember as a kid, which is, you know, Halloween's kind of like a nostalgia, you know, kind of thing. And I can remember being a kid, and there'd just be kids everywhere. I mean, like you turn around, you're like bumping in the kids. There were so many kids passing on the sidewalk.
Yes.
And it was amazing, but you don't see that anymore.
I mean, it was crazy last year in my neighborhood. But I think just because of the weather. I mean, it was still busier than what I thought it was going
to
be.
Right. Now, and I think the weather does have a lot to do with it. I mean, SJ, are you guys normally, because you guys, like we were talking earlier, you guys are kind of in a small, like housing community. So, you know, you would think that there, you know, would be more trick-or-treaters, because you said there are kids around. Are there more any other year, or is it just every year, regardless of the weather?
No, it doesn't matter. Like, the weather doesn't matter. I've seen trick-or-treating, you know, here in Georgia where I live. And closer to the city, you know, we live out here in Douglasville, which is about 30 minutes west of Atlanta. But in Atlanta, you get a lot of trick-or-treaters. Over here, not so much. It doesn't matter the year. Every Halloween is disappointing. We barely have any trick-or-treaters outside of the city. I think it's just old money real estate kind of thing. Like, all of our neighbors, we do live in a neighborhood that all the houses are kind of the same, from the same era. They were built in the 80s. But so we live around a lot of grandparents they don't like dogs, and their grandkids don't come trick-or-treating either, because
they hate their grandparents.
I guess so. Maybe that's why.
And they're not allowed to bring their puppy.
They're not allowed to bring their puppy trick or treating with the grandma.
Get your dog off my fucking lawn!
Oh, man. That's crazy. Why is your dog barking? Because it's a fucking dog.
He's saying trick or treat.
We don't allow trick or treating dogs around this park.
Does your dog have Tourette's?
Dog.
We dog get has, it. You're dog a dog.
Dog has Tourette's. Oh man. So Yeah, and me, I mean, Jody had to work, so I pretty much sat here and, I don't know. I did watch some, horror movies. We did have power here, but, it was kind of boring. Just hung out here by myself. And a little disappointing. But that's all, water under the bridge now. Damn you, SJ, and your power failure. George is better to get it right.
I blame myself for the power outage.
You should. All right. So this is kind of one of those, as if you haven't been able to tell already, one of those free form kind of a podcast. No real set topic. We do have a few articles that we may touch base on later. One very humorous. But beforehand, Malice, you mentioned, you brought up a guy who is actually local, not local here where we are in Ohio, but about 3 hours or so north of us, and it's kind of an interesting story, and, that's why I threw that in there, because, here in the future, we're going to be talking here in the Insane Asylum about some pretty strange and unusual, murder cases. Maybe not necessarily serial killer type cases, but just strange and baffling, maybe unsolved murders. I'm a kind of a big, true crime, fan, and there's some really interesting ones out there. But anyway, and this is kind of one of them, because it was just one victim, right?
Yes.
So this is kind of one of those stories. So it kind of intrigued me a little bit. Why don't you tell us a little bit about this? Because you're kind of educating me and SJ on this. I mean, we talked very briefly, before we started recording. But me and SJ are kind of in the dark here. So why don't you give us a little rundown about who this guy is and what his crime was and the whole rundown. The whole nine. Give us the whole nine, Malice.
Well, as SJ called him, Brett the Hitman Hartman, also known as Brett Xavier Hartman. He was a native to Akron, Ohio. He was accused of murdering a girlfriend of his. They say that he stabbed her 138 times.
Tad bit overkill. My goodness.
And cut off her hands, and the hands were never found.
Need a hand? I got two of them right here, buddy.
So, I didn't go too in-depth with it. Like, I just skimmed through it and several times, and I don't remember.
Want to buy a hand? It won't cost you an arm and a leg.
So, I don't remember everybody's names except for him and the victim, which is... throughout the entire article, it was kind of it's either Wanda Snipes or Wanda Snipes.
I see Wanda here. I'm looking at the ForgivenessFoundation.org.
Okay,
that's what I'm saying. It's Wanda Snipes. WINDA.
Okay, yeah. I mean, that's what on the top. That's the main thing that it says. But I was reading through different articles and different news agencies, their reports, and there was a couple that referred to as Wanda. Story goes that Brett and Wanda, they had a sexual relationship going on since February sometime in February in 1997, and the murder took place on September 9th, 1997.
So they had a good run.
I guess.
Sorry, I guess that went over everyone's good. Head.
they met at a bar in Akron. I think it was the bar, the in-between bar.
Have you seen bars in Akron, dude? Have you?
I mean, I've been to Sandusky. I've never actually been into Akron.
Well, all you need to know is the name of the bar itself tells you it is a hole-in-the-wall dive bar, the in-between bar. This is the bar you go to in between the good bars when there's nothing around. That's what that fucking means.
Or in between the crime sprees that you're about to commit.
Right.
So the in-between bar, that's where they meet.
So I'm just going to read the summary here. Okay. It's going to be verbatim. From murderpedia.org. Hartman met 46-year-old Wenda Snipes at a bar in Akron and admitted they had had sex several times before she was found murdered in her apartment. The police discovered her body tied to her bed and stabbed 138 times. Her throat was slit and her hands were cut off and never found. The police responded to the apartment after several anonymous 911 calls. Hartman later admitted making the calls and hiding across the street as the police arrived. Statements made by Hartman to police and co-worker and fellow inmate mentioned cutting off her hands to eliminate evidence. Hartman eventually acknowledges that he had sex with Snipes earlier in the day at her apartment, went back later only to find her mutilated body, then panicked. He, defendant, you're over here laughing, washed her blood off his hands and clothes. Tried wiping down tried wiping down everything he touched, removed evidence linking him to her apartment, and left after calling 911. He approached the police at the scene and said Snipes was a psycho bitch and deserved what she got. He also said that he was disappointed because Snipes refused to have anal intercourse with him, so he left.
He didn't want the snapper. He wanted the brown eye.
A bloody t-shirt was recovered from his bedroom, a knife from his dresser, and Snipes' wristwatch from his bedstand.
Seems open and shut to me. What do you think so far, SJ? Seems pretty open and shut. We're kind of learning this, you know, here together. What do you think?
Well, I don't know. It's going to take me a while to synthesize all the details because I'm actively searching the internet right now looking for details on this case, and I can't find too many. So I don't know. I have to hear more about this. Like you said before, it's not a case I'm familiar with at all.
Well, further down on the website, it has trial information. It has the defendant's case, the prosecution's case, different testimonies. The person that it was talking about, that it was an inmate with Brett, was referred to as a jailhouse snitch. And some of the testimony that he gave was the factors in it didn't match up with the crime scene or the crime.
Snitches get stitches.
But he ended up receiving, what do they call it? Reduced jail time for cooperation.
Oh, right.
So he ended up getting a deal.
Right. He got a deal for being a snitch.
Yeah, he received reduced time for his cooperation. But
wow.
There's also like claims that the prosecutor in here with this
she's
case,
an evil bitch. Listen to this. He was telling me a little bit about this. You talk about somebody you want to punch in the face.
Okay, when Brett went punchable to trial, face.
No, very punchable.
When Brett went to trial, he faced a prosecutor who was well known for being overzealous and would try to win at all costs. She was also known for over-indicting, violating disclosure rules, withholding evidence, and then would target defense attorneys who opposed her. She would also threaten jury members and harass jury members. Wow. If they didn't,
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, if they didn't go with a guilty verdict.
Just put your faith in the justice system, boy.
What an ambitious woman.
Right. Overzealous. Boy, that's an understatement. See right. What I did there? Overzealous, understatement.
Yeah, we see what you did.
But it's like down in the case synopsis and a lot of the articles down at the bottom, it had mentioned that she withheld evidence from the case about, like, the watch that they found that they said that belonged to Wenda was a popular brand of watch then, and it was never tested for any DNA. The knife that they had found in his dresser was never had any blood on it and was never tested. The only thing that they really had linking him was the bloody shirt and the fact that he admitted that he had went in there and picked her body up and panicked and then tried to clean it up because he didn't want to get blamed for it. There was two different people that testified.
He had a pretty guilty conscience then, you know? I mean, because if you just find somebody, whether you know them or not, and, you know, you see that they're in a pool of blood, they've been viciously attacked, and you go, you know, you may want to try to help them, but if it's that much blood, I would think that a normal, logical person would immediately just call for, you know, an ambulance or something. You don't try and, like, manhandle this bleeding body, you know what I'm saying? So that to me, that just doesn't sound like a very logical thing to do, let alone pass it off as being the truth. You see what I'm saying?
Right. I mean, he was young. He was 23. He was having a relationship with a woman that was much older than him. I mean, not that that has anything to do
right,
with it.
Right, right.
Given his age, and it seems like, you know, all he did was, you know, go to this, you know, drink a lot, because he had said that, you know, it was a bar that he frequented all the time.
Right.
And he was out partying the night before, you know, not clear-headed. Like, if, say, he is innocent, you know, he goes there and finds her.
Then you say he called anonymously to, like, 911 to report what he found?
Yeah, he was hiding at the bar, called, seen the police show up, and all they did was search, like, the perimeter of the apartments, make sure that there was no any form of altercation going on, and when they seen nothing, you know, out of the ordinary, they left. So he called them again and then told them to go inside the apartment, and then that's when they had discovered the body. But there was two people that had testified. I don't know if they testified to, like, during the trial or just gave their testimony to, like, a detective that they seen. These two different people gave the testimony that they had seen the maintenance man of the apartment building threaten her in the same manner. And he had an alibi from 9 p.m. of the night of the murder. And later than that, he didn't have an alibi before 9 p.m. And Brett had an alibi
the entire night.
Well, the entire day, because he left at 3:30 in the morning, and it happened between 3:30 and I think it said 7:30 is when he left his home. That his mom corroborates that that he was there, and the phone calls.
Wow. But then you said you were reading some of this, and what? I mean, there's reason. Is maintenance man a suspect then? What, was he ever considered to be a suspect? The maintenance man in the apartment building?
No.
I mean, cause it seems like he has means to commit this.
He was never in the trial because they said it was information withheld from the prosecuting attorney.
Gotcha.
And plus
that,
it said
evil
that,
bitch.
So he must have had, like, a public defender, because it said that his defense
the public
team,
pretender.
Yeah, his defense team did little to nothing to try to defend him.
Interesting. So I don't know. I don't. I'm gonna have to look into this. A little more. It's a very interesting.
I mean, I'm on the fence. Case. I'm saying it's plausible. You know, it's plausible that he didn't do it. But also, I mean, it's very possible he did.
Yeah. So is it solved then? Is it on the books?
Oh, no,
it's still unsolved.
No, it's a closed case.
It's a closed case. Yeah. Okay.
And
he's dead now. Yeah, he's been executed.
I mean, because they could always, you know, reopen a case if more really compelling evidence comes to show that, you know, that even somebody that's passed did not do it. You know, I would think anyway, right? Don't all jump at once.
You ask me, one of the saddest things of all time is when somebody is executed by the state or, you know, the government, and it turns out later that they were either not guilty or just part of the crime, but they didn't pull the trigger.
Right.
I mean, to me, that's one of the worst miscarriages of justice that can happen. And so in this case, I don't know. I'll have to do my own research on Brett Xavier Hartman over here, because you know, tonight is the first I've ever heard of this guy.
Yeah, same. But, same. Now, did he die of what, natural causes, or was he put to death?
No, he was executed.
That's right, here in Ohio. He was executed,
Yeah, by lethal injection. I was just, you know, just bored, couldn't sleep, and was, I was like, man, you know, I wonder what some of these last people's meals were. And then I found this dude, you know, and I was like, holy shit, I think this would be a good topic.
That's awesome.
And he was a greedy little fucker with his last meal.
Yeah, what did he have for his last meal? Listen to this, man.
He had a steak with sautéed mushrooms, fried shrimp, baked potato with butter and sour cream, macaroni and cheese, vanilla ice cream with walnuts, Pepsi, Dr. Pepper, and honeycomb cereal with milk.
Jesus Christ.
That's a pretty big mess to clean up in the morning.
I know, man. That's all right? Coming out. At one point, that your body's got, I think that was a big error, you know, fuck you at the point of execution, yeah.
His last words was, I'm good, let's roll.
Let's roll.
Let the bowels roll.
Yeah, right.
Let's roll another joint.
Let's get to the point.
Man. Oh, I, you know, I kind of think that was possibly a slap in the face, man. Like, yeah, I want all this food. I want some, you know, that's just going to come out just messy and stinking. And, you know, here you go. Clean this up.
I wish I could be around to see you clean it up.
Oh, man.
No, man. I don't want to see that. Want no part of that.
Dana, like Brett, like this is that would be my last words.
Oh, yeah.
So I got a question for you guys. Okay, it's getting of course after Halloween, man. Like I guess the two big holidays for, you know, most people. I guess, you know, unlike
most people,
most, yeah, but not me. My big holiday is already passing. It sucked, as we mentioned. But for a lot of people, you know, the big ones are Thanksgiving, which I do dig Thanksgiving because, you know, I'm quite the stoner and I like to eat a lot. So, you know, smoke a lot, eat a lot, lay around a lot, eat some more. And it's just a vicious cycle that day. So, you know, and then you get to hang out with friends and family and it's a cool thing. And then you have Christmas. Now, there's been a lot of, you know, starting back, I guess, in the 80s, I think is when you started seeing a lot of the slasher movies that were taking on the form of, you know, holidays. And, you know, you had Happy Birthday to Me and, you know, Happy Death Day. And I think Happy Death Day was more recent, wasn't it? No, Happy Death Day 2. It just came out not that long ago.
I think they're both somewhat recent.
They probably are, yeah, more recent than what I'm thinking. But, I mean, yeah, My Bloody Valentine, you guys get the picture.
Right.
There's not a lot. Can you guys name a whole lot of Thanksgiving horror movies, being Thanksgiving's the next big holiday in line? There's not a whole lot. I tried. Me and Mrs. Dredge tried to sit down and watch Thanksgiving. That's a really tough one to get through because the acting, not even 5 minutes in, is absolutely fucking... I want to say dreadful, but I don't want to disrespect my dreads. Dreadful with an A. How about that?
Okay, with an A.
It was absolutely horrible. Have you seen it, SJ?
I haven't seen it, but I know it's a trauma film, right? Lloyd Kaufman.
No idea. It's a trauma. Because after you see it, you traumatize it. You know, you wasted that long.
Was it worse than Voices?
It was worse than Voices, yeah, and that one was pretty bad. But at least you had the talking dog and
Voices.
Cat and shit. Voices, yeah. Have you seen that one? What was it? What's his name?
No, I
played in that.
Ryan Reynolds.
Ryan Reynolds, yeah.
That was the best part: the dog and the cat.
I know.
Talking, I wish it would have been the whole.
Cat, yeah. I'm looking at the poster for Voices right now. I see the dog and Ryan Reynolds.
It's great.
How the fuck?
But yeah, I mean, it was you know, Thanksgiving was really, really bad, and they don't have a whole lot of, you know, horror movies that are, you know, based on, you know, Thanksgiving. So I came across...
No, they don't.
What's that?
No, I was just agreeing with you.
Oh, okay. So I came across an article on Bloody Disgusting that talks about a new Blumhouse. Or is it Blumhouse? Is it Blumhouse or Blumhouse? Blumhouse, ain't it?
Yeah, I think it's Blum.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah, whatever. They, they, let's see, they're putting one out. It's called Pilgrim, or Into the Dark Pilgrim. And it's basically a, you know, a dark kind of Thanksgiving horror movie. A little synopsis here. In Pilgrim, a woman invites, and, you know, modern day, you know, family, woman invites Pilgrim reenactors into her home to give the family an authentic recreation of the first Thanksgiving, all in the hopes that they'll put down their phones, cast their differences aside, and learn truly appreciate one another, if only for a couple days. But when the actors refuse to ever break character, and their behavioral and their behavior becomes increasingly concerning, well, let's just say the lessons they bring may come at a deadly cost. Now, I think I sent you, SJ, the trailer for it.
Yeah.
And it actually doesn't look all that bad. It looks like it could be kind of cool. But you can't really go by that anymore. You know, trailers. I mean, I guess you really couldn't before, too. But,
well, I just from the trailer, I didn't think it looked that fucking great. To me, it looks almost like a. Sorry to disagree with you there, but.
You're allowed.
It's almost like an M. Night Shyamalan Ding Dong.
The Village.
Yeah, it's kind of like The Village. It is one of those. That's what it at least smells like and looks like. So when it finally comes out, I'm sure it will be that way. It's one of those formulaic, horror schlocky kind of movies.
You're fucking
ding dong. You know, you're right. You're right. There. To defend you a little bit, that we do have a lack of Thanksgiving-themed horror movies that are worth anything. But I think we have to go back to basics.
Don't have any.
Well, I think we have some ones that we can watch this time of year that most people don't consider Thanksgiving movies. Let's think about that.
Okay.
For example, Texas Chainsaw Massacre, the original. Is it not a Thanksgiving movie? Do they not sit down at the end and have a feast together and have a whole?
I was thinking that when they sit down to have dinner.
Yeah, it's kind of Thanksgiving, right?
Or like I was thinking Children of the Corn.
Man,
love that too. There you go, perfect example.
I don't know. I have nothing. I'm thinking National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation. Hey, Clark had a fucking chainsaw and a Jason mask. I even got the little figurine down there.
I mean, getting together with your in-laws and shit, extended family, that's some horrific stuff.
My back hurts. I'm not
going over. Malice is looking for it. I'm going to get it. I'm going to show him. I don't think he believes me. Bam, sorry about that, folks, but yeah, right there, buddy.
Hell yeah.
Chainsaw Clark Griswold. Oh, God, I'm stupid. All right, so, you know,
only thing I can
my
think of.
Article sucked. Malice's was wonderful. But, hey, I hope to redeem myself with this one. Knocked up. Not knocked up, so smuggler gets locked up. Argentine woman was pregnant with pot. This just caught my eye. No, this isn't horror related at all. It is just funny. Dated November 14th. the baby, Argentine cops say, weighed about 4 kilos. That is hilarious. The baby weighed 4 kilos. A woman who appeared to be pregnant was actually wearing a handmade baby bump containing about 9 pounds of marijuana, according to police who arrested the phony mom-to-be and a male companion on drug smuggling charges.
Baby bump.
Man, my baby bump. My bump, my bump, my lovely baby bump. Check it out.
It's made out of weed. Check it out.
They get CPS involved in this case.
I don't believe that it says. It's a very short article, but it does. This is the couple were passengers on a bus traveling hundreds of miles between two Argentine provinces, according to law enforcement officials. That is. During a stop at the police checkpoint, cops discovered that the woman was not with child, but rather 15 packages containing pot. The drug stash was encapsulated inside a false belly constructed out of glue.
A false belly constructed out of glue.
Baby bump is so much better, though.
Like paper mache and Elmer's. Like
a, yeah, I know. A paper mache pregnant belly. That's great. Oh, man. In announcing the pair's arrest yesterday, here comes the kicker, ladies and gentlemen. This is the punchline, in my opinion. Argentina's security minister crowned the, quote, narco pregnancy has been aborted by police.
Jesus Christ.
Oh, that's great. That's the icing on the fucking cake right there. It says, while ambitious, the Argentine duo was not nearly as audacious as the Colombian smuggler who flew into Spain from Bogota in July with half a kilo of cocaine under his toupee.
Half a kilo?
Under his fucking toupee. Oh, my goodness.
Oh, shit.
So, I think I've redeemed myself. I think some apologies are in order. No, I'm kidding.
So, you had it under his toupee? Like, you smuggle this and you'll get your hair follicle surgery?
I tell you what.
It's the equivalent.
What's that?
It's the equivalent of the kids standing on each other's shoulders with a huge trench coat thing. The reverse of that. Just this really tall hairdo.
Right. It's true, man. Well, when I went to Colorado, it was coming back, going through TSA, and they made me take my dreads and just grab a few and just run my hand through my own hair. I started getting a chub. And I couldn't figure out why they were making me do this, because they didn't make me do it, going through, the local airport for Cincinnati. And, but now they're making me do this. And I guess the reason, and then he sprayed this, or wiped my hand with this shit or something. And it's to make sure there's no kind of explosive residue, gunpowder residue, or anything that got trapped in my fucking hair.
Wow. Post 9/11 America.
Yeah.
Welcome.
I don't know what that has to do with anything, but yeah, there it is. I have no idea.
You were telling a relevant story.
Yeah, I know, right? Apparently. And I'm out of irrelevant stories. Oh, shit, at this point.
Irrelevant or relevant?
Relevant stories. I never have relevant stories.
I'm almost finished with AHS.
Oh, yeah, that's right. SJ, did you get... I wanted to talk a little bit about American Horror Story. The first season, or not the first season, it's but this season...
Season 9.
Season 9 has ended, and I don't know if you got a chance to check it out, SJ. Have you looked around? I know you don't subscribe to the whole cable thing, but I'm sure there was ways that, you know, you probably could watch it still.
No, I mean, I have Netflix. I'm not that old. But no, I have. It's funny that you said season one of American Horror Story, because that's the only season I've actually watched all the way through. So, no, I'm not up to date on that. Next time, tell me before you mention it, because
I mention it all the time, and you're never ready, sir. Oh, that's all right, because before, what, a night or two ago, you know, Matt Malice, but you have a reason why you wait till the season is off, and I thought it was actually pretty clever. I should actually try it, but I'm too impatient.
Yeah.
What was that reason?
I like to binge watch it. Like, yeah. I want to see it. I don't want to have to fucking wait a week or two or whatever.
Right.
I want to sit down and do nothing for 8 hours.
Kind of the same way on that. I wait until things are done and the hype is gone, and, you know, like Game of Thrones is something I want to go back and watch, but I haven't seen very much of it at all. But now it's over, you know, I feel like I can go back and enjoy it without the pressure of having to watch that next episode. So I can take, you know, a couple days off of work and just binge watch, like you're saying. But
I've waited for entire series to be over, like Breaking Bad. And...
Yeah, I did the same thing with Breaking Bad.
I'm too impatient. Okay. I watch it every week. I hate the week that you have to wait, the 6 days that you have to wait. But half the time, I forget that it's even on a certain night, and I don't remember until the day after. So then I'm always missing it, you know, live, so to speak. So it's not really that, you know, up there.
It doesn't matter.
Fucking priority list, but it is something that, you know, American Horror Story 1984, I thought, I guess without giving out any spoilers, because, you know, some listeners and, you know, our very own SJ has not had a chance to watch it. What do you think about it so far? Because you're not completely through it all yet, are you, Malice?
No, I mean, I got one more episode.
One more, okay. Okay. What do you think so far?
I've only seen two seasons completely that I can actually remember. bits and pieces of other seasons. Excellent, you know. Every season is pretty much the same, you know, curveball after curveball. You don't see things coming. And it's, you know, it's always on edge. You're on the edge of your seat. Like, super interesting. I just wish that I was, you know, related to Ryan Murphy, so I could be ripping all the benefits that, you know, the millions.
You mean you don't have a long distant nephew, cousin, I don't know how old he is, you know, named Malice? I'm sure if you go into his roots and his family tree, I'm sure we can find a Malice in there somewhere.
I hope, because he's contracted on for one more season.
Yeah.
And, a lot of the original cast members will be coming back.
I just seen an article pass through my news feed that did mention that Evan Peters and is that his name?
Evan Peters. Yeah,
Peters. And a lot of the originals that you know, maybe did not take an appear in this one. I think Evan just wanted to take a little bit of a break. You know, actors can sometimes get a little too much into character. I think it was something like that. He was having trouble, you know, differentiating. Why do I use words that I know I'm gonna fuck up?
Informatory.
Informatory, man. It's like the library, man. going to inform myself. Going to the informatory. I'm gonna make shit up. But yeah. I really dug it. I liked the premise, for one. Out of all the different subgenres of horror, those that know me know I'm more of a slasher guy. I like the slasher, you know, movies. Sometimes the cheesier the better. Sometimes, you know, I mean, that's what gives a good 80s slasher. It's, you know,
it's definitely 80s.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
To the core.
Right. And this had a lot of cheesy parts in it. It played out like you were back in the fucking 80s. So I think it was really well done, you know, and I wish it was like, what would you call it the other night? Like a split season, the where maybe they come pick up, because it kind of had a weird ending to it.
Well, I mean, I haven't seen the ending.
You haven't seen the ending.
It's, but there's only 9 episodes, so it makes me think, you know, there's at least, I don't know, you would hope.
It seemed like a very short season.
3 or 4 more episodes.
Yeah. I you know, I usually thought that these shows like this were like, you know, 12, 13 episodes long in a season. Was always my guess.
Right. I mean, that's how many I think there's been.
Yeah. And, you know, they got 9 and done. It's kind of weird. And
it's kind of a joke.
SJ, did you say you had watched some of the other ones before, a couple of the other seasons?
I think he said episode or the season one.
Yeah, just the first season. Oh. So I've been away from AHS for years. I don't know even when that first season was. What was that, like 2008, 2012?
Yeah, it's been a minute.
But
just not a fan of 84. It, or just didn't grab me?
No. Okay. So, yeah, it's been a while, but no, it's not that I'm not into the series. It's just...
it was more interesting.
I don't know. I don't know why I didn't... Yeah, I've there was more interesting shit for me to get into in all these years. I don't know. I thought it was an interesting idea. I saw what they were doing with it. Like every season is going to be kind of its own thing. Maybe the concept was a little too heady for me, so I just didn't get it and stick with it for, you know, throughout all the seasons that they've done. But
not even either.
I don't know. This 84 one is definitely up my alley. I'm kind of a slasher 80s horror guy myself. So.
Yeah. No, it's a good watch. You know, I couldn't get into some of the other ones, as weird and far-fetched as they got. I couldn't get into them. I tried, and I gave it my best and failed horribly.
Well, it's almost like an anthology series, you know, like Tales from the Dark Side,
right.
The movie, or one of the fucking Creepshow movies. It almost is like that, but it's... It's hard to pull that off with the TV show, but because you have to go season by season instead of clip by clip if it was an anthology horror movie like Creepshow. So I don't know. It's you have to be invested in every single season, and if they lose you, if you know season 2 isn't as interesting as season 1, then you kind of lose me on that. I don't know. It's a very bold way to go with a horror series. It's very experimental, and I think they're still experimenting with it. The American Horror Story format. And yeah, I just haven't caught up.
Oh man, that was great. I don't know where to go with that. I don't know where to go now. Oh, I know. Who's telling us to go? It's them damn white coats. I fucking hear them coming down the hall. Keys are jingling and jangling. I'm about to take me home. My white jacket, one size fits all, makes me hug myself. I don't know where I'm going with that either. But hey, we do have a guest next week. I'm not going to give his name out yet, but I will be making a post. He's kind of big into the horror, you know, movie making scene. Again, I will have more details and whatnot later on in the week. We'll keep you informed. Malice, it was pretty awesome doing a podcast with you again, my
dude. Talk about long time. Like,
man, right.
I have not on the mic for months.
Yeah, it's been a long, long time. And I mean, it feels like it's been months and months and months, SJ, when it's actually only been just right before Halloween that we haven't done one. And I'm glad that we're back in the shit saddle. How I really wanted to say that good, man. Shit saddle, and it just says saddle.
back in the shit saddle
there
again.
You go, right? Yeah, had a lot of you know, technical issues, and then the change in weather and people getting sick, and it was just one shit storm after another. So we took a few weeks there to regroup, and then we come back with this.
I honestly thought that I would be, I don't know, more uncomfortable.
Really? Because yeah, you hadn't been on
been
the
forever,
mic?
Yeah, you yeah. know. And I don't know. I think I've kind of, like, stepped back into it like I ain't missed a beat.
I think you have too, man. Yeah, absolutely. It's like riding a bike sometimes. Once you get comfortable with it, it's hard to lose that comfortable feeling.
I don't know.
I can't fight this feeling. Well, no, I got this feeling.
I want to ride my bicycle.
That's funny.
Bicycle.
Get on your bikes and ride.
Man, there was just a really awkward silence there. I didn't know what was going to happen, man. It's like, should I dive under the desk? What? But anyway, yeah, and so, hey, we're definitely going to have to do this again. Malice, you know you're always welcome here in the Insane Asylum, and gonna hopefully, you know, get the wheels rolling. I think coming out, you know, coming back from the little hiatus with us three, having some laughs, having some jokes. Talked a very interesting case again. What was his name?
It was Brett Xavier Hartman.
Brett Xavier Hartman. Pretty interesting case. Little twists and turns going on. Could have been him. Might not have been him.
Might have been the maintenance man. You know, I'm on the fence.
There you go. True crime type shit right there. And SJ, we got some. We won't mention him yet, but we got some pretty strange cases that we've been talking about to discuss here in the Insane Asylum, haven't we, my friend?
Oh, yes. A couple of boys from Texas and Florida. Mm.
Yes.
That's food for thought
there
right
you
there.
Go. Chew on that, dreadheads.
Put two and two together, dreadheads.
Oh, come on. They can count higher than that. I hope.
I hope so, too.
But and we're also going to, as we talked, SJ, we're also going to, you know, maybe take a slight turn in the podcast in the area of topics, and maybe, like I mentioned earlier, talk some just, you know, regular strange unsolved cases, true crime type stuff, not necessarily serial killers, but interesting cases nonetheless. Again, if they're unsolved, I think it makes for more intrigue and want to look into them. So we got different things on the plate here. An Insane Asylum. Again, thank you, Malice. We hope to have you behind that mic again soon, my friend.
Me too. And thank you.
Yeah, you're very welcome. SJ, you better be on the mic next week.
I'll be here.
I know you will. Because you, like myself, probably have zero social life.
That's it. Zip, zilch, nada, nothing.
That's how we're able to maintain commitments. As long as we don't have to leave the house, I can maintain them.
Right. As long as I'm breathing and awake and alive, I'll be here.
All right. And hi, myself, Otis B. Dreads, I'll be here as well. So tune in next week. We'll see you on the other side.
Break on through you beautiful to the other side.
No one knows. We're going to die.